Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. The Priority Health Academy hosts every July a symposium on functional and integrative medicine held in Charleston, South Carolina in the US. This year there will be two lectures on LDN. To find out more, visit www.tinyurl.com/DOL-2020. Tickets are $150 for all 3 days. I'd like to welcome back my guest today, Dr. Yusuf Salibi. He's a functional and integrative medicine practitioner who uses LDN in his practice mainly for autoimmune diseases and Lyme disease. Thank you for joining us today, Yusuf.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back, Linda.
Thank you. So can you give us an overview of patient experiences that you've, you know, come across in your practice?
Right. So since opening up my fully integrative medicine practice, it's a totally dedicated functional medicine practice back in 2013. So since then, and even prior, actually, I've been using LDN, but mostly since 2013, a lot of prescription because people are coming to my practice with autoimmune diseases and Lyme disease. I kind of focus on Hashimoto's. That's one of my fortes is thyroid disease and management. So the vast majority of folks coming into the center have Hashimoto's. I also have a kind of regional center for taking care of folks with tick-borne pathogens. And I utilize LDN in helping people conquer their immune dysfunction that's often related to these tick-borne pathogens, such as Lyme disease. So I'll start off with a couple of cases of LDN use in my Hashimoto's patients. Mm-hmm. I will say that it's probably not the first intervention I use with them. We try to rehabilitate their thyroid with some natural herbals and supplements, such as iodine and selenium, and some adaptogen herbs to kind of rehabilitate their thyroid. But when I see quite elevated titers of a TPO or thyroglobulin antibody titers or TSI, in the case of Graves' disease, I will start them on kind of a lower dose and go up very gingerly, very carefully. So I usually start them at 0.5 milligrams daily and then increase the dose as it's tolerated, testing the first dose to make sure they don't suffer from any side effects, which is usually insomnia, and then progressively increase their dose till we see effects. A perfect example is a young lady who is in her late 40s, has had Hashimoto's for quite a while, and she happens to be an engineer, so she takes meticulous notes, keeps a very good diary, and actually brings in on her visits graphics showing TPO titer elevations and reductions. An interesting thing with her is that we started about 2 years ago, started LDN, and we noticed within the first month or two that her TPO titers started to drop. She had titers that were up in the 300 and 400 levels on her blood work. And this was a kind of a gradual decline in the TPO titers, the one from the 300s down to the high 200s, down to the mid 200s, and so on. There was a point where she actually had run out of her LDN. And at this point, she was probably on about 2.5 milligrams daily. She had run out for about 3 months. And during that time, she sort of had been absent from the practice. She got tied up with some personal things and just never called to get a refill of her LDN. So, but she kept keeping track of her progress and her lab reports. So we noticed when she came in finally for her follow-up appointment and she restarted her LDN, she brought in some graphs that showed once the cessation of the LDN happened because she had run out, her TPO titer started to climb again. And then following commencement again of the LDN, they started a trend of lowering. Now, I just saw her maybe 2 weeks ago in the office, and we recorded the lowest TPO titers ever that we had in all of her blood work over the last two and a half years. She also reported that her subjective feeling was much superior. She also had issues with leaky gut and would have intractable abdominal pains, usually at night, that would wake her up. That is under control. I attribute that also to some of the LDN effect and working with her on other levels, too, to help reduce her leaky gut and dysbiosis. So she has made a fairly remarkable recovery. She is very excited about her current state of health and well-being and is only bothered on rare occasion with some abdominal cramps, just maybe here and there, maybe once a week or a couple times a month. So she's sort of a poster child of one of our Hashimoto patients who we can see objective findings in laboratory of a reduction in her TPO titers and also some subjective, when we question her, some subjective feedback of, you know, vast improvement. So, Linda, that's an example of one of our patients, a good example of one of our patients that that has done well with LDN and the thyroid disorders. Now, I will say that it's not 100%. There are some folks that that fail therapy, either because of intolerance, they just can't, you know, take the LDN for whatever reason due to insomnia. Even I sometimes will move it to early morning dosing versus nighttime dosing. And sometimes that ameliorates the insomnia issues. Some folks are just plagued with the vivid dreams. They're just too vivid or too disturbing for them, and they'd rather not. But other than that, I haven't had anyone drop out of the use of the LDN for any other reasons. It's pretty good as far as being a relatively inexpensive intervention that has a low side effect profile. Mm-hmm. I'll talk now about a case where I use LDN in folks with Lyme disease. So it's a very tricky diagnosis to make. There are some surrogate markers we use, like the CD57 count, to help us with a diagnosis and also to follow patients with their progress in treatment. And the treatment modalities are quite variable based on the individual requirements that the patients have, whether it's affecting neuropsychiatric joints, cardiac, or whatever, and some of their other biomarkers that help us kind of focus on whether we address it with, you know, high-dose multiple antibiotic therapy or we take a more subtle, slower approach with herbals that are antimicrobial as we're building up their immune function. And this can sometimes result in less herxing. So I usually, depending on the severity of the case, it depends on how rapidly I accelerate their dose of LDN. But usually with Lyme patients, we'll start with 1 milligram per day. And usually on average between 3.5 to 4 milligrams is where the end point will be. We do see an increase in their CD57 counts. Some of them come in with very low counts in the double digits, such as like 14 or 16, whereas our goal of therapy is to try to get it above 150. So those folks are pretty debilitated, and in rechecking their CD57 counts as they're into therapy, usually 3 to 6 months out, we can see a rise in that, although we do add other immune enhancement herbals to the mix too, things like some of the medicinal mushrooms and some other supporting herbals and supplements to help bolster their immune system. But we find that pretty successful. It also helps with pain. A lot of the Lyme patients have chronic pain syndrome, whether it's in their muscles or joints, or headaches, and that help seems to help with that as well. So another case I'd like to discuss is a young lady who came in with Crohn's disease. She had been to see multiple doctors and a couple of gastroenterologists, and the diagnosis was made, and they wished to put her on some biologics. I think Humira was one, and there was Remicade, may have been another. She and her family were obviously not very comfortable with some of the side effects that these biologics have, but they were warned by the gastroenterologist that they had to do something, or they might face a worsening of her Crohn's with some obstruction. So they came to me for sort of a second opinion, and we spent a lot of time discussing LDN and provided them with a lot of research material that was evidence-based, basically things that have been published on Crohn's. And they decided to go ahead and start the therapy, but they didn't want to give up on the Humira. So it was a dual therapy. She had already started on Humira probably about a month prior to starting the LDN, but we rapidly accelerated her dose. And she's now sitting at around 3 milligrams per day of LDN. She was scoped about a month or so ago, and she has regression of her lesions. Now, there's been published material showing the concomitant use of biologics along with LDN. Obviously, my plan for her and my wish for her is that she can drop the monoclonal antibody therapy and stick with LDN as her sole agent, just because of its safety profile and its effectiveness in some of the research that I've reviewed. So that's the case of a fairly young patient in our practice who has responded to at least the dual therapy, but hopefully will graduate to just LDN therapy for her Crohn's disease.
Well, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? Well done.
Yep. Yeah, I'm very happy for her. She was very, very apprehensive about getting rescoped, but was very pleased to find out that there was a marked regression in her lesions.
Mm. I mean, I have heard some amazing stories of people with Crohn's disease where, you know, they were just about to go down to theatre to have their bowels removed and have a, what do you call the bag?
A colostomy bag.
A colostomy bag. And deciding right at the last minute, just while they were going down to theatre, I don't want it done, you know, I've got to go home. And I can remember one lady telling me, they said, if I go home, I would die, because she was bleeding quite heavily from the bowels at this point. She went home,
right,
and she said, let me go home. Let me get my head round this and I'll come back. She was 36 at the time. And she'd got small children that she couldn't look after. And the next thing is 5 months later, I mean, she started LDN. 5 months later, she went back to the hospital. They'd done an endoscopy or whatever they did in the bowels with the camera, and there was no sign of Crohn's disease at all. And then she was pregnant.
Right.
She was pregnant, and she's had nothing. You know, she's just like somebody who didn't have Crohn's. You know, it's totally amazing.
Right.
Unfortunately,
that can be.
Yeah, it's not, I don't want anyone to think it's a miracle drug and a cure and it works for everybody. And as you said, it doesn't always work for everybody. But for the people
right.
It does work for, it's nothing short of life-changing, is it? You know, it's really amazing. But
right.
I did just want to ask you before you carry on, if you don't mind me butting in. You were saying about the vivid dreams. I was wondering if you had tried giving patients ultra low dose until it got into their system and it didn't cause sleep disturbance, and then slowly increase it up. Have you tried doing a very, very gradual introduction?
Yes, usually the first step, unless it's a known super sensitive patient. So we have several patients in the practice that we know are super sensitive to any intervention, whether it's dietary supplements or prescription meds. So when we know that in advance, either by experience in the first couple of weeks with them in the practice, or if they come in with a history of saying, oh my gosh, I have to use half dose or quarter dose of anything that is prescribed because of my sensitivities, I am more likely to start out with VLDN, very low dose naltrexone, or even ultra low dose naltrexone. A perfect example is an older, middle-aged gentleman in his 50s who was misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic pain syndrome. And he was on tremendous amount of drugs, things like opiates and Cymbalta and Lyrica. A lot of them weren't really very helpful, but he had sort of managed over the course of several years to collect a lot of medications prescribed by other providers, a rheumatologist, internal medicine. Finally, he had been to a chiropractor who was sort of appalled at his massive collection of prescription drugs and referred him to me. And we've been working with this fellow now for almost 3 years. We've kind of weaned him off of a lot of his prescription drugs. He still takes a few. And we realized he is kind of sensitive. We discovered that one of his underlying root causes for his condition was Lyme disease and another tick-borne pathogen. I believe it was Bartonella that plagued him. So we addressed that issue, and we've got him through his course to get his Lyme and tick-borne pathogens under control. And we've started weaning. Well, we had to take some time to wean him off his opiates. He was on Lortabs almost TID 3 times a day for his pain. And he's now off of Cymbalta. He's off of Lyrica. He takes no opiates. We managed to wean him off gradually. It took months to do that. And we started ultra-low-dose naltrexone. So he's gone through his first month of that without any issues. And so now we're graduating him up to a higher dose. So we actually started him on 0.1 milligram twice a day, BID, initially for the first month. And he reported back to my nurse about a week ago that he's tolerating it very well. And so now we're upping his dose to 0.5 milligrams. And then hopefully we'll increase that to maybe a dose in the 3 to 5 range. As he tolerates it. Mm-hmm. He has reported, first of all, he's happy about getting off of a lot of those medications. And he was prescribed medications to help with the side effects that were brought about by some of the first meds he was on. So it was a kind of a slippery slope with him. And we've reversed all that. So he's taking very, very little. Mm-hmm. He feels much better. But he's still having some issues, so we're not out of the woods yet on him. But we've made some headway, but it took some time. It took, I'd say, almost 2.5 years with this fellow.
Mm-hmm. But with microdosing, like 0.001, which some of the pain specialists are using, if people are ultra sensitive by starting at such a low dose, they can normally tolerate it over time, but obviously you have to let it get into the system and the system gets used to it and increase it when they're ready. Do you use the microdosing?
I don't usually go down that far, that 0.001 dose. I have not much experience with that sort of low dosing, but 0.01, I do. Have some folks that start out with that, either Q-day or BID or once or twice a day mm-hmm. dosing. But it sort of depends. If we're trying to address pain issues, we'll usually do that twice daily dosing at that level and see if that helps them with their pain. But if it's for immune enhancement, I'm usually likely to want to get to a higher dose. I find that in my clinical observations to be more effective with immune enhancement.
Mm-hmm. I was just, wondering of those patients who might give up because of these vivid dreams you were talking about, they probably wouldn't mind doing it slower to be able to get to be able to use LDN rather than give up? that was my only thought.
Right, right. So we do have that conversation. Some of them are a little gun shy after the first attempt, you know, and so trying to convince them to take, to start it again at a lower dose may take some education and some more talking into. Also looking at the use of transdermal applications of LDN in a transdermal cream topically. As another modality of delivery that may have less of those side effects. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, chronopharmacology, we know from some studies that it's preferred, it maybe works better dosing at nighttime on an empty stomach right before bed. But, you know, I'd rather get LDN in them than not. And so sometimes we dose it earlier in the day. That's happened actually twice this week where we had patients that were started and they had some insomnia, so we changed the timing of their dose and it resolved without any issues, and they're continuing on therapy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I think most people used to take LDN at night, and I'd say it's more or less 50-50 now. Some people actually prefer taking it at night, even though when they've got used to it, they could take the evening dose. That they prefer the morning, but they say they have great results and they don't see any need to change. I always take mine before I go to sleep. I have a routine and that works for me. But so what other cases do you have you could share with us?
What other patients? I have one that's a 52-year-old woman with colitis. And she has known gluten sensitivity. So sometimes when she cheats on her diet, she has a flare-up. She was pretty stable for almost 8 years. And then for whatever reason recently, she had a flare-up of significant bloating and gastric distension and ulceration and a little bleeding noted in her stool. She did not want to, for financial reasons, go back to her gastroenterologist because she kind of knew the drill. They'd want to scope her, and then they want to prescribe some expensive medications that she couldn't really afford. So we decided to get her adherent to a diet free, 100% free of gluten to start off with, and make sure that, you know, we weren't feeding the fire. So that's one of the first things we have to do. And I think there's been some studies to show that, you know, working on the gut first will also help better absorption and let the LDN work better. It doesn't sort of interfere. And so we started her on a pretty we started her right on 1 milligram initially, but within a week we started escalating her dose because she was in dire straits. We also use calprotectin and lactoferrin. Stool analysis, or those are biomarkers that are in the stool. So they're non-invasive. They can help diagnose IBD and discriminate it from IBS. So when you have a patient with abdominal pain who has maybe not gotten scoped yet, you can run these calprotectin stool samples and determine if it's an irritable bowel versus inflammatory bowel. And in her case, we will use those markers to kind of gauge the efficacy of therapy. And, you know, if the markers, well, first of all, she's pretty much asymptomatic at this point. I think part and parcel was the removal of all gluten and not cheating on her diet. That was a big one. But also, I think the LDN played a part in the quickening resolution of her symptoms. We are waiting on a second battery of stool analysis to check her calprotectin. That's probably in the next several months to address that. And, you know, if we're having any issues, I'm going to probably push her to get a colonoscopy. But if levels are dropping and there's no symptoms, there's probably no need for that study. So it's kind of a wait and watch game with her right now. But she is doing significantly better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. And how many patients do you think you've prescribed LDN for since you started?
Oh, they're in the hundreds, for sure. We have a low volume practice. You know, personally, I don't see usually more than 5 or 6 patients a day myself, and I have 2 nurse practitioners that are also on staff, and so you know, we've got hundreds of patients. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably placing a new patient or patients coming in for follow up on LDN during the week on the dozens, you know, dozens of new patients on LDN each week. Mm-hmm. It's become a sort of a very big part of the practice. It's on my really short list of very good drugs. And I have also, for whatever reason, the last quarter, or actually the last 12 months of last year, 2019, I had the most number of cancer patients coming into the practice, either as new patients or the existing patients with cancer scares, like 2 with breast cancer, 1 with prostate, 1 with rectal cancer. And I immediately put them on a protocol, including LDN. So I provide them with a lot of information, clinical trials and things that have been published about the use of LDN in cancer, although that's not a big, big focus of my practice. I tend to do more hormone management, thyroid, and Lyme disease. But in recent, probably the recent last year, because of the higher number of cancer patients coming into the practice, that's been a sort of a little bit of an interest, and maybe we're talking 5 to 10% of my patient volume. So that there's a protocol I use that includes, depending on the cancer, includes metformin and LDN as the 2 main agents to use in adjunct therapy with their traditional oncology regimens. And some folks come in and they just don't want to do conventional oncology. They don't want to do chemo or radiation, and they just want some alternative therapies. And so mm-hmm. LDN and metformin become 2 critical arms of our protocol, and that we start almost every patient mm-hmm. without exclusion on LDN for sure. So that becomes a big player. Most, I'd say 99% of my autoimmune disease patients are on LDN as well. So it's becoming, I'm writing more and more as each day goes on, it seems, in my practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about to the end of the show, and I know that you've got an event coming on in July. Would you like to tell our listeners about that and where they can go to find more information?
Sure. Well, first off, I'm going to really enjoy giving a talk on LDN and inflammatory bowel disease at this conference that you're putting on and hosting in the Bahamas in middle of February. I'm looking very forward to that. And we also have our clinic and we have a nonprofit called the Priority Health Academy, and we host an annual functional medicine symposium in Charleston, South Carolina every year. It will be the middle of July, 17th through the 19th of July, 2020. Here in Charleston, South Carolina, and it is open mostly for licensed practitioners, doctors, chiropractors, nursing practitioners, etc. But we do open up. We usually have a couple of seats available for lay people, patients, and the such that wish to take it in. It'll be 3 days of lectures on topics in functional medicine, from hormone replacement therapy to thyroid. Traumatic brain injury this year will be a focus, and provider burnout is also a focus. And we will have at least 2 lectures on LDN. I'll be giving one, and Dr. Hamid Bakhtiar, who's a PharmD pharmacist, he compounds a good amount of low-dose naltrexone and VLDN as well. So he will be giving a lecture focusing on the sort of the tricks of the trade for compounding a high quality LDN. So that'll be coming up in the middle of this year. And for more information, folks can go visit our website. There are links there, our Facebook page, but also a short URL called tinyurl.com/ capital letters DOL-2020. So DOL is for Day of Learning, the year 2020. So if you go to that URL, you can read about who the speakers are and the agenda, and also purchase your tickets there.
Well, thank you very much for having been our guest today, Yusuf. It was very interesting. It's always good to hear from prescribers, you know, the outcomes of their patients.
Very good. Well, Linda, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and to be able to reach out and educate patients and providers alike.
Thank you.
The Priority Health Academy hosts every July a symposium on functional and integrative medicine held in Charleston, South Carolina in the US. This year there will be two lectures on LDN. To find out more, visit www.tinyurl.com/DOL-2020. Tickets are $150 for all 3 days. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.